Greetings and welcome back to another an ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Chulin, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph at the bottom. About to take a look at this, the ninth Mishnah in the second Perek. And this will be our final podcast of the second Perek. The next podcast we will begin Perek Elu Trefot. We continue on with concerns related to Shechita L'Shem Avodah Zarah, or the appearance of Shechita L'Shem Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Ein Shochtin Lo L'Toch Yamim, V'Lo L'Toch Neharot, V'Lo L'Toch Kelim. You cannot slaughter where the blood goes directly into the sea, or into the river, or into some sort of vessel, because it looks like you're either worshipping the sea, or you're going to be using it in the vessel, or using it for some sort of worship. You can slaughter and have the blood go directly into some sort of a basket that has water in it. We'll discuss this a bit in the Gemara. And if you're on a boat, you may slaughter so that the blood goes directly into the kelim. That's, for instance, in a case where you not want to get the boat all messy. We'll see some more details about that as well. You're not allowed to slaughter into a pit at all. You can dig a pit in your house or in your yard, wherever it may be. Let me take that back. Not wherever you may be, but in your private property, so that the blood does end up going in there, and we'll see again some more details about that. You should not do so in the shuk. So the yechake here means you should not be doing the chukim. In other words, you should not be following the customs of the minim, where evidently they would have a special place that the blood would go, and that was part of their ritual. Now, Enshochtin L'Toch, etc., Maishna L'Toch Yamim D'lo. So why did the Mishnah rule that you can't slaughter into the sea? Da'amri L'Sara D'Yama Kashachi, because people think you're slaughtering for Neptune, you know, the god of the sea. So Tochu Gashamayim Nami, Amri L'Bvua Kashachi. So why wouldn't people think, if you're slaughtering into a bucket that has water in it, which the Mishnah permitted, that you're really slaughtering for the reflection in that, that is a reflection of some sort of a spirit? So Marava Bachurim Shanu, we're talking about when the water is dirty. In other words, if you have dirty water in there, somebody's going to think it's for worship. First of all, there's no reflection. Second of all, it's dirty. Okay, Ein Shochtin L'Guma. Now, V'Hamart Ein Shochtin L'Guma Klal. On the one hand, the Mishnah said you can't slaughter and have the blood go into a pit at all. And then we said, but you can make a pit in your own house. So how do we resolve this? Amar Abaye. So Abaye's first resolution is Reisha B'Guma Shebashuk. He said when it says, Ein Shochtin L'Guma Kol Ikar, that means publicly, which we later at the explicitly banned. Amar Le Rava. So Rava says, V'Hamid Iktani Sef M'Shuk Lo Yasechein. He says, since the Seifa explicitly says you can't do it in the Shuk, Michal D'Reisha La B'Shuk Askinan. So clearly the Reisha is not talking about the Shuk. He's talking about it at all. Ella Amarava Harikamar. So we have to sort of rephrase the Mishnah. Ein Shochtin L'Guma Kol Ikar. You're not allowed to slaughter directly into a pit anywhere at all. V'harotzeh l'naker chatzerot. That's somebody wants to clean his yard, meaning not have blood there. Kitzad hu oseh. What do you do? Oseh makom chutz l'guma v'shochet. You could make a place right outside of a pit. Slaughter there. V'dam shotet v'yoreh l'guma. So as long as you can get the blood to go into the pit, you just can't slaughter directly over the pit, because that really looks like a worship act. But you shouldn't do that in the shuk, because then you're really doing it like the minim, and you really have to stay away from that impression in the public arena. Okay, Tanya Kavateh Rava, and so we have a dispute between Abai and Rava as to whether there is a prohibition of slaughtering directly into a pit in your private area. The Braita supports Rava. Hayam halech bisfina. Let's say you're on a boat. Ve'en lo makom bisfina lishchot. There's nowhere that you can shecht on the boat. Motzia do chutz lisfina v'shochet. So you could hold the animal over the water and slaughter over there. Ve'dam shotet v'yored al dofnei asfina. And the blood, it'll go on the walls, the outside walls, the hull of the boat. Ve'en shochet l'guma kol ikar. And this is the part that really hits right on Rava. You're not allowed to slaughter into a pit at all. So what do you do if you want to keep your field clean? You slaughter outside of the pit, but you have slaughter right outside of the pit, and you have sort of a drainage ditch that goes into this pit, and that's fine. And that is acceptable. Nishum shenemar v'chukotehem lo teleichu. In other words, it's following the ways of the pagans. Evidently, they would make some sort of a pit and was maybe sanctified or something. And if you see somebody who does behave that way, you have to kind of look into who he is. Maybe he made a mistake, maybe he didn't know, but on the other hand, maybe he's secretly a sectarian, a concern that has always been one that has raised the eyebrows and caused us to have to check out what a person's standing is. Okay, the final Mishnah, Mishnah Yod, Hashochet L'Shem Olah. You have Chulin, but you're outside Shechting, and you say, I'm doing this as an Olah. L'Shem Zvachim, which means Shtamim. L'Shem Asham Talui. Now remember, Asham Talui is brought when you did an act which you forgot that there was an Isur, and then you may have violated the Isur. So for instance, you thought it was Monday evening, turned out it was Friday evening, but it was between sunset and nightfall, and you did Malacha. So first of all, it's Shogeg. Second of all, because you thought it was a different night. Second of all, we're not even sure you violated anything, because that's the time of Safek. You bring an Asham Talui. L'shem Pesach, or L'shem Todah, Shchitato Psula. The Shchita is invalid, and we'll see what the criteria here are. Rabbi Shimon Machshir, Rabbi Shimon says, not a problem. Now, Shnayim Ochzim Misakin V'Shochtin, let's say, and this is going to be parallel to what we saw earlier. So if, let's say two people are slaughtering together, Achad L'shem Achad Mikol Eilu, Achad L'shem Davar Kasher. Let's say one of them had a thought, L'shem Pesach, or said L'shem Pesach, whereas the other guy said, I'm just shechting this for food. Shchitato psula. So even one by having an involvement here would invalidate it. And as we said earlier, this would have to be a case where he was at least a co-owner of the animal. Hashochet L'shem Chatat, L'shem Asham Vadai. So if somebody slaughters for an expiation offering or guilt offering, L'shem Bechor, he says this is a Bechor, or L'shem Maaser, which you can't make up Maaser, you can't make up Bechor, either is it or isn't. L'shem Tmura, I'm shechting this as a Tmura, then Shchitato Ksheira. What's the rules? Zahaklal. Kol Davar Shenidav V'Nidav, anything that can be voluntarily brought, Hashochet L'shmo Asur. If you shecht in saying, I'm doing it for that, for an Olah or a Shlamim, something that could be Nidav V'Nidav, then it's Asur because you're really giving the impression that you're making a korban here. But if it's something that is just impossible to voluntarily bring, like a chatat or a bechor, then hashochet lishmo kasher. Your statement is just meaningless and it's kasher. Now let's go back and take a look at each item. Hashochet l'shem olah, and then we said asham talui. Olah zvachim and asham talui. Asham talui bar nidav v'nidavu. Since when can you voluntarily bring an asham talui? You either bring it when you did an act when you did an act b'shogeg, and if we had knowledge that you really violated the law, you'd bring a chatat. But since we don't know if you violated the law, therefore you bring an asham talui. But it's not something that's voluntarily brought. So Rabbi Yochanan Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer, he very famous opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in Kretot. Tamar mitnadev adam asham talui b'chol yom. You could voluntarily bring an asham talui every day if you wanted to. Meaning, you did something, you don't feel good about it, you need some sort of kapara, you can use an asham talui. It doesn't have to fit the strict criteria. So therefore, our Mishnah must follow Rabbi Eliezer about that, including that, in Shchita Psuba. Pesach bar nidav v'nidavu? Zimna ki ukviya. How could you say Pesach is nidav v'nidav? It has a set time, you have to bring it. So Rabbi Shai, Shani Pesach, will hafreshato kol ashana kula. See, unlike a chatat or an asham, which you can't be mafrish until you've sinned and become aware of it, with a Pesach, any time of year, you have a little sheep born in December, you can mafresh it for Pesach. So therefore, it is somewhat voluntary. By the way, this entire Mishnah only applies if the animal itself is tamim. If you see an animal with a blotched eye, or an animal with a broken leg, and in such a case, such a way that the shechita is fine, but it could never be brought as a korban, even if you say l'shem olah, it's meaningless, because we all know it's not an olah. Nobody gets the sense that you're trying to bring an olah, you just said something foolish. Even if it's a bal mum, sometimes something could be covering the mum. So of course here we'd have to distinguish between a mum, like some sort of a blemish on the neck where the wool could be covering it on a sheep, and a mum, like a broken leg, which is obvious to all. Okay, now, shochet l'shem chatat. We said in the Seifa that if you shech l'shem chatat, then it's a meaningless act, and it's still good shechita. V'yochel l'shanu el l'shem l'chuyav chatat. So that's only true if you're not chayav chatat. Chuyav chatat, eim l'shem chatato, o'seh. If you are chayav chatat, we could say the guy's trying to bring a chatat. Now, v'ha lo kamar l'shem chatati, and we're going to see now a pattern that will go through the rest of these sugiyot. But you didn't say l'shem chatati, you said l'shem chatat. So that means you're trying to make up a chatat, so it shouldn't matter either way. So yeah, indeed, if you said l'shem chatati, and if you were chayav a chatat, then the shechita would be psula, because it looks like a korban that you're trying to bring. L'shem t'mura, so the same thing. If you don't already have a korban in your house, then t'mura is meaningless, because a t'mura is a replacement for a korban. An illicit replacement. Let's say you do have a korban at home. Let's say that you're making this the t'mura for that. But you didn't say l'shem t'mura zivchi, you said l'shem t'mura. It's a generic statement. So Ravahu comes to the same rescue and says, yeah, if you said l'shem t'mura zivchi, then it would be a problem. Zehaklal. Now, what's the general rule? Tuyemai. The general rule was anything that's nidav v'nidav, if you shecht for that, it is pasul. So what's the rule coming to expand to? We already said ola, zevach, Pesach and Todah. So what's being included? The answer is La'atuye Olat Nazir. The Olah that a Nazir brings when he concludes his period of Nazirut. D'mahu d'tema halo nadar. After all, the guy did not make himself a Nazir. He's not a Nazir. And so therefore, when he says L'shem Olat Nazir, we would think that's meaningless. So Amar Nadar Bitsina, maybe he did privately take a neder and you don't know about it. Maybe he's been avoiding wine or been violating the law the whole time. And he's bringing an Olat Nazir. Okay, v'sheino nidav v'nidav. And the end of the Mishnah was, if it's not nidav v'nidav, then if you shecht for that, it's kasher. Latuye olat yoledet. That's there to include a case of olat yoledet, that if you were to say l'shem olat yoledet, it's meaningless. That's only true if you're not married. Maybe his wife gave birth, and you're doing it for that. So halo kama l'shem olat ishti, but you didn't say l'shem olat ishti. Same problem, same answer. So then it's only if you said l'shem olat ishti, meaning that the two conditions are, first of all, you have to be married, and the second thing is that you have to have said it that way. But if you just said l'shem olat yoledet, even if you're married, it doesn't mean anything. So then we say pshita. If that's the case, then it's quite obvious that this is a meaningful statement on the korban is pasul, the shechita is pasula, sorry. So ma'udatayme ita de yalda kala havile. The answer is no, not so obvious, because we would think that if his wife had given birth, we would all know about it. And the fact that we don't know about it is when he says l'shem yoledet olat ishti, that we would say that's also a meaningless statement. Olat yoledet li ishti. It's still a meaningless statement because we know she didn't give birth. The answer is kamash palan emar apuli apil. That there are several girsas here. We're going to follow this girsa. Kamash palan emar apuli apil. It is possible that she gave birth and miscarried and kept it very discreet. And so now he's bringing the korban because after a certain amount of gestation, there is a chiyuv korban for yoledet. And so perhaps that's what happened here. Okay, hadran alach hashochet. We've successfully completed our study of the second parak of Chulin. And in the next podcast, we'll begin the third parak, Elu Trefot. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.